Hey, y'all. You're listening to Spiritual Freedom Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie. I'm glad you made it. So this is a safe space where we get to talk about anything and everything spiritual and metaphysical, but we're going to talk about it without the judgment, without the fear or religious guilt, and without losing any credibility. So let's open our hearts and our minds, and let's talk about the weird without being weird about it. On today's episode, I'm so stoked that you guys get to hear from my friend Yvonne, the Aussie goddess. And that's A-U-S-S-I-E, goddess. And she is incredible. She has her own YouTube channels and she does readings and with her life coaching. But we're talking today about manifestation. And I'm just stoked to have her, guys. There's a few teachers in my life or mentors, and she is one of them for me. And we're just going to be talking about manifestation, how she's experienced it, how I've experienced, and kind of like the bits that kind of like resonate now that we kind of look back on our experiences. So I hope that you can gather, the nuggets and go forward. And I hope all of this helps you guys out. With this new year energy coming up, let's use it, man. Let's manifest. All right. Take care, y'all. Thanks for listening. Hey, everybody. I wanted to do a special podcast today, and we have Yvonne, the Aussie goddess, and that's just for those who like to phonetically, it's A-U-S-S-I-E, goddess. And I have her here on actually YouTube, too. We're going to be releasing this on YouTube platform so people can see us talking as well as on the podcast platform. But I'm so happy and honored to have Yvonne here today. Asked Yvonne to be here. We're going to kind of talk about manifestation. But I just also wanted to just have her say hello to you and tell you about where to kind of find her. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, Susie. How are you going? So lovely to be able to catch up with you in this way. We've known each other for quite some time, and we are very close in our birthdays as well, as I remember rightly. So I guess the thing with being on here and doing this, so I've not done a podcast before. I have YouTube channels. I have actually three, but my main one is, of course, Intuitive Tarot. But I also do star signs as well. So if you're looking up anything, it's always the Aussie goddess. And you know I'm on TikTok and LinkedIn and all the other social media. So just to give your listeners and viewers, obviously, a bit of a background on me, I can't remember not being psychic, but I can remember my parents being very scared of me when I was a child. So from the time I was probably about 14 years old, I could read a normal playing card deck, and I never really understood why that was, and then probably got into tarot in my 20s. So I've been reading for quite a long time. I have had my tarot channel on YouTube, the main one, for around about 4 years, I think, now. And I do private readings or personal readings as well. So another passion of mine, of course, is the life coaching. So I do a lot of the life coaching. So it's really good to do something different, I have to say.
Yes, and I will attest to the fact that your one-on-one coaching has been phenomenal. I don't think I mentioned it, but maybe slightly at the end of one of my episodes when I was recommending you for my listeners before. And it helped to really give me a lot of healing on some shadow work I desperately needed to do on codependency, on victim mentality, a lot of things that we're going to probably touch a little bit today. And, I've been following you for, gosh, so many years. I think it's more than three now. So 3 or 4 years. And your channel really helped me look at the relationships, the codependency, wounds, all that sort of thing. And so I was so honored that you were saying yes to being on today's podcast. And it just means a lot to me. Y'all, she's the real deal. You just meet them just rarely in life, and she is exactly who she says she is, and she's wonderful. And so I'm just so glad you're here. I don't know about you, Yvonne, but for me, in my spiritual development, when I did somehow get into manifestation and spirituality in general, just through the actual manifestation happened to be the major topic that brought me to spirituality, because I was trying to change my job so like desperately, because I wanted it to happen, and I was getting desperate because my human attempts weren't working. And so I remember reading up on some, this is before I started looking on your channel, but I started doing some manifestation podcasts on, you know, just the podcast platforms, and took some podcast manifestation courses. But I was just curious, though, how did manifestation come up in your like spiritual development? Was it later on, or did you kind of, was it in the beginning like it was for me? I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think probably when I look back, I could see the ability to manifest at a very young age, but I just didn't really, I don't think I had the word for it, if that makes sense. Like I can remember thinking back and thinking there were times that I wanted things and they would just automatically come to me, even though they were very difficult. In particular, I remember as a very young child wanting this particular doll. And I had asked for this doll and never thought any more about it. My grandfather turned up with it on my birthday. Oh. So when I looked back, there were lots of circumstances like that, but I never really understood manifestation per se. But I could always see the results of it. But it was putting together what was I doing to bring about that result.
I sometimes think,
you know, like you could, how big can you make this? But I'm really honestly quite a humble person. So I've never really sort of thought about anything, you know, big and magnificent, which I probably should have done, and which probably people who manifest would say, why didn't you go for that? I don't know. I, like you, there were things like, you know, wanting small things in my career, wanting a house to come my way, wanting to do well at things that I would work on manifestations, and that would be really good. Like I'd bring about good result. Sometimes it wasn't quite, and that's what I say to people, doesn't always quite fit what you're asking for. Sometimes it's a little left of center. But yeah, to answer your question, I think that I've always been good at manifesting. I just feel that I'd never really understood what I was doing for such a long time.
Yeah. And that actually, when you said that, it kind of rang true a little bit for me, because on certain things, at certain times in my life, when I could focus, and I know it was probably an egoic focus more so than a, you know, I want, you know, God, just lead me into the energy kind of like manifestation kind of focus, which we'll talk about later. But it was, I definitely could make myself get through something, obtain something, maybe not exactly, like you said, maybe sometimes a little left of center. And I can look back on why it was left of center and realize my energy was a little off on certain things. And, you know, so it's just neat, because now that I kind of understand more of this, I don't know, I don't want to sound like I'm on a pedestal, but like when you do understand a little bit more of the mechanics and the beliefs behind it and the shadow work that you can work on so that it's clearer intention and clear energy, boy, you just feel so empowered, and you can really do a lot in your life. And I just feel like that is so freeing. And I had no idea that this was really available until like I had that first experience in like, what was I, around 37, 38 when I did this. And got it. It was all about changing my job. You know, I'm very Capricornian. You know, those things in my life were always the ones where I put a lot of effort into like changing. And yeah, I just was able to manifest, and it was intense and really beautiful. But again, that was when I kind of knew a little bit more of the mechanics, and yeah, I got a little closer alignment in terms of like what I was really wanting. Cause I was talking at that point about the energy, but, I don't know, we're kind of going into manifestation, but I was just curious, cause it's funny how to, you're right, without knowing the language, we can look back and realize how much we did manifest. You know, once you know the mechanics, you're like, oh yeah, we had this way earlier. We just didn't know it.
No, we didn't. And it's funny, because very often when we're trying to manifest, we're coming from a place of not being in a good place. So, right, you know, we're in a horrible job, we don't like the job, and then we try to manifest another job. So in effect, and again, I know we will talk about this in more detail so people can understand, but if you're trying to manifest from that low vibration, then very often you're going to pull things in that match that vibration. Right. So, you know, that when you're talking energy, that's so important to understand, Because if you're unhappy with a relationship and you're trying to manifest a new relationship, you're more than likely going to bring in the same person with a different face.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So, and I always... Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I'm sure we'll get more deep into this as we're going. But I think that's why you always be left of center with things if you're not in the right place. Because maybe you're not really sure what you want. Your emotions get in the way. The world gets in the way. We don't really understand that we're bringing things towards us that are matching where we are at that point in time.
Yeah. And I think the biggest part of me, because I kind of feel like I have two different manifestation phases for me. Like, okay, well, there was the pre-spirituality before I even knew what I was doing, but I thought it was just hard work and focus. And then, and then I have the beginning spirituality manifesting when I thought it was like, I want this type of job. And it was just enough of kind of opening me to know that I can kind of create a mantra, you know, focus and all that sort of thing and try to bring this into my head. But I didn't understand, like you said, the clearing of energy to make sure that what I was wanting in my head was actually my highest and best. So that was like part two. That was more of like part two is like the cleaning of the shadow to where finally we're clearer instruments and are like really calling in our highest and best, because the higher we are vibing at, the better we're attracting, you know, element is coming at us. And so it's just that continual, like, keep working on yourself because you're just going to call in better next time you try to manifest something, basically.
Yeah, I think that's what it's all about. And just understand, like I said, your emotions, your desperation, your need, your negativity. You talked about victim mentality. All of those things play a part. And I feel that when you're young and you're innocent and you don't carry the weight world on your shoulders and you manifest so easily because of that, asking for something from the universe seemed to be quite an easy thing to do. But none of that other gunk gets in the way. It's just so your innocence is really very beautiful in being able to manifest that. So I guess what you're looking at is getting yourself into that innocent stage again, where you're not sort of calling from the ego, you're not calling from the sadness, you're not asking for something from that place. And I feel that's what it's all about. And you coined it beautifully before. It is all about being innocent, clearing.
Yeah, completely. And I just feel like it just takes time. And I mean, so more than anything, I want people to realize that this manifestation doesn't like, I mean, I think you said it earlier too, like it's just, it does take time. I mean, this whole like clearing of the spirit so that we get, you know, higher vibe, you know, reflections takes time. But like the very first thing is like, I remember being kind of surprised with myself at 37 years old and being like, when in my manifestation class I kind of attended, they had a question about like, well, what do you want? Me was the job. And I was thinking, you know, corporate, something, you know, stable, something where I don't have to do a lot of billing. You know, I'm thinking all those like logical about my profession as being an attorney. And then they said, no, but not the specifics, not the actual factors, but like, what's the energy of what you want? Like break everything down into energy. And they were like, so like for a relationship, you know, like you want to feel respected. You want to feel like all those good adjectives, right? You want to be seen, you want to be wanted, you know, attracted, all that sort of thing. Like, you know, and it's really that versus I have to have a guy who's at least, you know, 6'1", you know, that kind of stuff. You miss out on all the shorty, awesome dudes, you know, or women, you know, it's just, And it was like that. I think the biggest first thing was like stopping. Okay. What do I want? What is it of this new job that I'm really like desperate? And for me, I was just in such a workhorse kind of environment of, you know, being an assistant district attorney and just going through trials after trials after trials and spending like, you know, a lot of hours in the office. It was just ruining my health and ruining my, so it was like, to me, it was like, I need a slower pace. I need a slower workload, one without litigation, preferably one without billing requirements. But it was like the energy of it was like, I just need relaxation. I need this like, you know, a little bit more ease in my, so I can kind of really have life and enjoy life and do like reading, you know, read a book for fun again, or, you know, think about food prep and prep healthier food in my life. So it was like, they got me into like, those questions were kind of like at first, like really think about what you want. And I don't think a lot of us, especially, I don't mean to make it all about women, but I do think that women do a lot of the family activities and it's really hard for us to stop and be like, what do we want? We get so into that automatic pilot of providing. And we men do this too. I don't want to, I shouldn't make this sex sex-based, but it's just that I realized I hadn't really stopped and even had a hobby for many years, you know? So I'd been so disconnected to what do I want versus even what do my soul want? I kind of at that time was like, I don't even know how to connect with my soul right now. So I was trying to manifest from a very disconnected space in my time, in my life, when I first started like trying to, you know, cognizantly manifest. And when I look back on that, I still was able to manifest and it still was a better situation. But definitely, I didn't quite understand the whole shadow work and releasing of control and all those little things. But before I kind of go off on my experience though, for you in manifestation, when you kind of start talking about, manifestation for people on your channel or you're doing a reading, how do you usually approach it first? Do you tell them like just about like how that we have the inherent power to manifest, and then that's kind of what you start with for them to kind of realize that they're actually powerful beings connected to like spirit, how do you approach people basically who are like trying to manifest at the beginning of everything is basically what I'm asking.
No, that's okay. And I think that there are certain things that you sort of try to, it depends on whether I'm doing a personal reading or reading for sort of, you know, the collective, as it were. I feel that what I generally say to people is that we all have the ability to manifest.
Right.
We all have the ability to bring around the results of things that we want to have in our lives. But, you know, some people, like you said, a really big one, have become so disconnected. And what I think, even digging deeper than what you said, is that for a lot of people, you become disconnected from your feelings. So you tend to become very logical minded, which is what society tends to push us to do, rather than feeling out what we want. So a lot of people will not even understand that they're not connected deeply to their own feelings. So for me, you know, starting that whole process of, you know, understanding where you're coming from is really about knowing who you are. That's where it all comes down to, like that core person that you were meant to be. Have you lost it along the way? Have you forgotten?
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, you become a, you know, a mother or a, you know, a worker, and you tend to sort of often put feelings aside. But deeper than that, you know, a lot of people as children are raised in homes where they're not able or allowed to feel their feelings or express their feelings. And often that's one thing that's closed down very early in life, you know. And I say to people often, you know, where are you feeling that? And they're like, oh, I think. And I say, no, where are you feeling? Well, I think. No. Tell me where in your body you're feeling this. So people are already disconnected from their core body. So I feel like manifestation, the first point is about you connecting with yourself. And that is often doing that inner child work, but it's more about understanding that you're a feeling human being as well as a thinking one. And although it's important to think things, feeling is the most important thing. So when people are talking about manifestation or asking about manifestation, I feel that people are trying to manifest without doing that inner work first. And you sort of talked about the journey, and I can feel you out on that journey. And I feel, you know, if you're really wanting to manifest something, there's no better place to start than with you. So getting yourself grounded, getting yourself living in the moment, understanding that we tend to, as human beings, be more logical, live in the past, live in the future. We don't live where we need to be. And there are some great people out there who talk about, like Eckhart Tolle, who talk about living in the moment. That is the number one thing with manifestation. You've got to be present in your body in the moment. So, yeah, that's sort of where I come at with manifestation. Everybody is capable of doing it, but you need to be in the right place.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's funny, too, about the logic kind of stuff, because me, as I was raised and with my engineer father, you know, and my very logical mom, it was very much like not encouraged to, you know, how are you feeling today? No, what does your heart say? It was more like, what have you got going on today? What is, do you have homework? You know, it was like that kind of life. And so, yeah, I just remember that, like, so in 37-ish, when I was kind of doing my first manifestation bout, it was my, you know, attempt. It was very much the desperation of not liking the, like I said, the disconnected from myself, from source. But being so unhappy, I had to change. It was too painful to continue is what it was. And I had to just try some woo-woo stuff at the time because I was just so like my personal 3D efforts were not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So the way that I would attack so for example, I'll bring this around to it, but it's like, so the logic brain of me of manifesting would be, who are the employers that were okay for my job, how they would pay me, you know, which ones I would prioritize. And I'd start every Friday watching their, you know, postings or job postings or social media, and, you know, who am I connected with? And I'm talking about the logical stuff, and I would not go anywhere for months. And then the moment I'd go into this woo-woo thing, which was this real releasing of the, almost like the ego, but that I can do it myself and all by myself, that I, you know, was able to kind of really get to this broken down, I cannot do this, God, kind of discussion right before I did it. Like then my heart kind of just was like, it's open and just, you know, just not destroyed, but it was just very debilitated and I needed something. And I just was like, this is so painful. That I finally got into the energy of it and gotten connected. It was like the night the dark night of the soul moment of like, what do I want to do for life, for living? And mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, I just want to be able to live, have actually a life though outside of what I do. Like, I don't want to be defining myself as what I do. And a lot of times, you know, with jobs and stuff, we can do that. And I had been doing that and I had young kids and I felt like I wasn't really connected to them at the time. And it was just like that heart opening really happened. And I think because of that heart opening is why I was able to manifest kind of well that time and got this wonderful, I just think that was key. But it wasn't like the full, like, you know, shadow work of like understanding that my soul is inside and that it came from, you know, heaven. And therefore I have all this manifestation power here. Like it's connected, you know what I mean? It's not a long, you know, at the time of manifestation, number one, I thought I'm putting all this prayer out, come back from to me from Infinityville versus no, this energy is right here. I'm empowering myself to like, trigger it and like let the universe energy kind of like come to me. Like mm-hmm. We're turning this on. I don't know. That's kind of how I've been seeing it lately, just in terms of my manifestation. That's just a visual thing that I have lately about really just seeing it within us versus seeing it so far away. Cause sometimes, you know, when we pray for manifestation, we have mantras, we see it as like stuff that, you know, it's a force that's beyond us from, you know, long, you know, eons away that's coming to help us, you know? And it's like, I think a lot of it is really embracing the entity of the energy of the source within us, that it's not a long distance phone call, that this is right here, but we do have to connect to it and like really clear up the mind so that we kind of don't have that junk in calling, so that our vibration is at this increased level to attract, you know, the increased, you know, the improvement in 3D. But anyway, I just kind of feel like that heart thing, like you're saying, like going from like logical to like the emotional opening, like that was a huge thing for me in my first like manifestation thing. And before I forget, like, I did want to ask you, what was your big manifestation like within a spiritual, once you learned the mechanics of it, or you know what I mean? Once you're more aware of like that kind of energy thing, was there a certain project that you were like, I'm going to manifest this? I was curious.
I think that there has been a few times along the way. And I love the way you describe that, because for me, that if I was to describe that being in tune with the universe, see, for me, it's like if you're operating on AM and the universe is yep. operating on FM, you've got mm-hmm. no way of connecting. So, right. you know, that having that vibration, the same as the universe, is where yeah. that manifestation happens. I think that when I first started my YouTube channel up, and I had never done anything like that before, and I was a little bit nervous, but I was more at that stage in my life, I was more, I guess, preoccupied with not wanting to fail. Since then, I've let the whole word, there are words I try not to use in my dictionary anymore, of fail is one of them, because I think we tend to sort of look at failure as being the end. you know, well, I failed at that, so it's just not on the cards anymore. Whereas for me now, I realize that that is just a step in the right direction.
Right.
And I watched that YouTube channel grow. And, of course, that brought me in lots of people to work with, like you were talking about, the life coaching and connecting with people, which was always my thing, was being able to connect to other people and help people. So I didn't really talk about my career either. So I've worked, you know, I've done a number of things in my career, but primarily I've worked in the disability sector and with homeless people and, you know, and people in that welfare sector. So I've always been what you would term a helper or a healer or a teacher. And for me, it was really about getting out and being able to work with people more closely in regards to helping them on their journey, like, as you said, I did with you. So when I think about that, I feel that is really important, that the first thing I manifested. Now, I want to just step back a little bit, because when I first started doing the channel, I had this idea that it was going to be fabulous. All these people are going to come in. I was going to be able to help all these people and make my own business from it. And when I first went in, there were so many doubts. I just was full of doubts. Is this going to work? I'm giving away well-paying jobs, like I was quite high up at work. And is it going to work? And that doubt made me doubt myself so much I went back to work.
Yeah.
So the first time I tried to launch my business, I just became a Mrs. Doubtfire.
But it's such a human thing.
Absolutely. So then what happened was, after a couple of months of doing that, I thought, you know what? It was me. It was me self-sabotaging. It was me bringing it down. What I need to do is, if I'm going to do this again, I have to believe in myself. So I went back, you know, like you said, I went back and I had a look at what I was doing, how was I manifesting things, what did I really want, and did I think I could get there? And the second time around, I was 100% sure, and I never I never looked back. So I feel that a lot of what we're talking about with manifestation comes very much down to believing in ourselves as well. So if you asked me, that would probably be the biggest thing I've ever done, was manifesting my own business. I didn't need to be rolling around wealthy. It wasn't what I was after. I just wanted to reach as many people as I could. Obviously, most of the people I've worked with have been women. And I don't think that's so much because of the spiritual thing. I think it's more because of how society has impacted women in terms of like you were talking about, being the very often the person who was raising the family. A lot of stuff doesn't seem to come up for women till later in life as well, although I do see a lot younger women starting to understand how they've been held back by things in their childhood. So that would have probably been my biggest thing. But then on top of that, of course, you know, I manifested the beautiful man I'm with too, after having so many dippy relationships along the way, and kept
congratulations
going, asking for something more, and I was lucky enough to meet somebody that was perfect for me. So yeah, I think that probably along the way there's been a lot of smaller manifestations, but for me, being able to do my work as a full-time business has been probably the biggest thing I've done.
No, that's beautiful. And I do think that that's true. Like the biggest, so for like more of my phase two, kind of like, so if I could talk to somebody who is starting this out beyond what kind of like the, I mean, not that the classes I took were rudimentary or, you know, less than, it just was, it was wonderful, great course to start. Right.
Yeah.
Would be like you said, number one, any sort of like, it's yourself. We have to absolutely work on the self-love, and it's not the pedicures and manicures. This is like a deep knowing of like trusting yourself again, to make choices, to know that you're honoring yourself in actions, word and deed, kind of, you know, or actions, thought, and, you know, speaking. So it's like, and it's like really watching that and watching like our hangups, you know, dogma that we isn't true anymore for our kind of, you know, more positive vibe personality, because we're all coming from families that probably have really limiting beliefs on a lot of things that we just kind of, you know, pick up and we're like, of course I have to work hard. I can't just, you know, easily find a good job and, you know, and make money easily, you know, that sort of thing. And so like for me, like, and it's been this huge self-love, all my meditations, when I, So I wasn't meditating quickly. I had all these good spiritual practices after my phase one. I keep calling it my phase one, but it did deliver a beautiful job that gave me such flexibility in my working hours and such a less pressurized environment that I could finally have a daily, spiritual practice. And I could read books, spirituality, eat that stuff up, listening to, at the time, Wayne Dyer, YouTube, free talks all the time. And I really kind of got into the belief, and it was true, even more deeper, that was kind of outlined in my first manifestation class of our thoughts are so powerful. So we really should our thoughts and our emotion, because we're manifesting from every minute. Like right now we're manifesting, right now. I mean, it's very powerful. And that these souls inside of us. We have the spark. I'm going to sound a little, I don't mean to sound too religious, because I'm really not non-religious, the non-dogmatic. We have the spark of God. Like, it's the soul. It's however you want to phrase it, source energy. It's whatever. It's the part of us that goes back when we're done with these meat suits. So it's in this experience, and it's not far away. It's literally right here. I'm pointing to my heart chakra, or above my heart, my high heart chakra, I guess is what it is. And I don't know why, but that concept to me, I really rooted into it, that this is me, I'm the soul. So what does that feel like? What does that energy feel like? What is the truths of that? And the truths of it were then I must, if I, that soul came from God, then, and God's, hangout verse before I decided to splinter off and come over here and have this individualized experience as a human on this very dense planet. But that's me. And I need to remember that that's me. And the illusion is that I am this human, right? And I can only do what, I only have what's in my pantry is in my pantry, and I have no more food next week. That kind of, human limitation kind of brain is working against the soul in here. That's there's abundance everywhere, and it's limitless, and you are limitless, and you are that. And those kind of concepts is kind of what I saturated myself in after I had gone through my phase one, which to me really purified this self-love, this empowerment, to start seeing my wounds, even more so once I had a personal experience with just kind of a, how do I phrase it? With a soul contract with another person that kind of made me realize my value even more. But it was just kind of when I realized, okay, I don't deserve that, those, being treated in certain ways. But it was man, that really put me in a place of knowing that I am worthy of calling in the experience that I want to have right now, in this universe, and that it is a soul entitlement. It's not an egoic entitlement. It's this soul thing of will I remember to, tune into that energy every day, clean up the mental mind of my humanity that wants to interfere and say, well, you're not deserving of that, or you didn't work hard enough for this, or whatever those fears are. You're not, you're not all those statements, and just really kind of no, this is my truth. And have practices on the daily that bring me back to that, to settle into it, so that I don't go into codependency, to victimization, all that kind of stuff that, you kind of so easily go into, because that's the automatic pilot of many, human experiences. I just think that's the human structure of our mind, and that's what we're fighting against. And it's just, the more we kind of learn about that and watch our behavior and heal that, then it's I don't want that mansion anymore. I want this lifestyle that gives me financial abundance and beautiful friendships and, the ability to travel as I'd like, and, all those little things that are actually really in my soul, versus, the egoic, stuff where you're okay, I just want to serve, and I want to serve God and what I do, source energy. You start loosening this whole egoic focus of I want this new job, which is kind of what I did in phase one, to now, which is more manifestations lately, have been for me. And I'm not trying to tout my own horn. I'm probably going to go back to some egoic thing soon. And once something, we have phases, but right now it's just kind of I just want to be on my highest and best path. What is that, God? Surprise me. I'm trying to, and you loosen control and all that kind of stuff. I know I kind of just blathered on with about a bunch of mindsets and what I've been dealing with. Sorry.
No. I was going to say, you've touched on so many important things there, which would take weeks for us to sort of
right.
But really understanding how you know, the universe is, how the human world is, how our parents raise us. And it's not that our parents do things that are wrong. It's just what they've learned or their parents have taught them. But you were talking about things like victim mentality and limited thinking and the ego. Those things there in themselves are what keep us really stuck in that way of thinking. So, you know, one of the big ones which we always talk about is the lack mentality. You know, if you've had parents who've always struggled with money, if you've had parents who told you that money didn't grow on trees and it wasn't easy and you've got to work yourself to the bone and live in the same job for the rest of your life and you'll always be struggling and all those sort of, you know, lovely terms that we were told, then you grow up thinking that that is the world you live in.
Right.
If you grow up with a parent who says to you, honey, you can have anything you want, anything you want. You don't have to worry. It's going to fall at your feet. You can have all these things. Then you may grow up with an entitlement attitude, you know. Right. So it's sort of like, hang on a second. Somewhere in the middle there, our parents could have been realistic with us, but also given us the opportunity to understand how much we're truly capable of. That's why I always talk about the balance, you know, having that balance of heart and head, because it's so important to make sure that you raise children with these healthy self-esteems and help them to understand how to produce in the real world, but also understand that if they want to be an astronaut, and I always use astronaut as my example, you can be an astronaut. And what happens is for a lot of us, we get sort of the dumping on of other people telling us that isn't, you know, it isn't an option for us. Oh, well, you're too fat, you can't do dancing, or you're too, I'm trying to think of another example. That's probably mine because I've been.
No, I do ballerina, so I know what you mean. I think of that too.
I did ballet work when I was little, but then I had thighs, like, and it just wasn't an option for me anymore. But it wasn't something I really liked anyway. But to get away from that, that's the sort of things you hear right from the beginning. So it's no wonder really that we become so convinced that we are a certain way that we can't change. And you do hear people say, well, I can't change that. That's who I am. And there's been, you know, some people, some really famous people have done some incredible work on how much we can change in our brains. So from the logical perspective, that's beautiful, but you don't always have to rely on that because you also have the other perspective. So it's all very well to sort of learn how to do things from that physical point of manifestation, which I think was where you were coming from with your first stage of manifestation. It's still possible from that sort of perspective, but it's also possible to manifest from the heart space, if we want to call it the heart.
Yeah, so, which is what I was saying I was trying to get more into, but I don't want to sound too much like a nun or a, you know what I mean, or a, you know, yogi. I'm not all there, like, you know what I mean? I still want my bills paid. That'd be really nice, you know.
And that's what I said. It's really about having the balance of both. But if you get too stuck in that ego world, if you get too stuck in, you know, just having the physical stuff, and we hear about it so often, you know, people leaving the planet too early because they, you know, have received or got themselves to fame and fortune, but never been happy with who they are. So we know, you know, it is about having a balance of both. It is about understanding that a lot of stuff comes from in us, like you were talking about, the heart space and being plugged into the right place, but also understanding that there is a lot of stuff we can do that comes from that logical space too. So you were able to manifest like your job, which really satisfied both your heart space and your brain space or your logical space.
Yeah.
So I think that's so important to understand. It's that whole thing of going back to, you know, yes, we're human beings living a spiritual experience or spiritual beings living a human experience, whichever way you want to put it, but we still need to be with one foot in each world.
Exactly. And I know, and I felt like for us in my manifestation class, when I first, phase one, the focus there was, what do you want? Think about the energy, think about mantra statements that would, you know, closely align with that energy that you want. So I want, you know, a loving relationship, or I want a job that where I feel secure and loved by my, my boss and superior, or boss and co, you know, loved and supported by my coworkers and supervisors, or however you want to phrase it. And you are, and you know, add upon that, that I have financial abundance, that, you know, I may have a workload on the daily and weekly that I could just easily take care of, you know. So I know I'm talking about logical. So I like turned those, I think I have to always talk about it, because I feel like I didn't understand it until I heard it, that saying you want a job and X amount of money isn't it. Like, you had to really go into these energetic, like, what do you want to feel? Well, I want to feel secure that I have a job that's not going away. So give me something that's going to stick, you know, universe. One that makes me feel good and I'm not drained every day and I can get the workload done. You know, it was just like, I had to really think that stuff through, and I created my mantras. And then at the course at the time, like, it was more of like an emphasis of like, you know, 30 to 40 days in a row that you should kind of like repeat these mantras. And then I added, and then do a vision board, you know, just to add to this, you know, sensory kind of calling in this energy into your, well, I guess as Abraham Hicks calls it, like the vortex, the energy vortex that's around you, right? The aura, whatever. I kind of just think of it as aura. And then I'm making my sparkles in my aura of what I want, you know, like, intentionally doing that. So when I make my little sparkles, you know, and push in the universe and try to have like 30 days or 40 days in a row where I'm in good spirits and every day happy, you know, that kind of stuff, which wasn't always possible. But like on my way to work and on my way home, I had an hour commute each way, and I would like think about my mantras, and then on my way back, and then, you know, after the 40 or 30 days, I can't remember what it was, like, you just kind of chill out and just wait, and without, you know, thinking it again, like, oh, and worrying about it, going into the tunnel of your mind's, you know, worries. And for me personally, it was like 2-3 months later, I think, when out of nowhere, my friend called me. And this again, wasn't in the sphere of like the employers in where I lived in, you know, up here in Oregon. It was my friend from old Texas, you know, calling me, hey, you, I know you're doing a lot of cool trials, which is what you wanted to do, but would you like to step out of litigation? I kind of thought of you. And then she said, but before I go into the job, let me tell you about what it's done for me. And then she did about 4 or 5 things. And it was in the order of my mantras of like, I had first, like, you know, supported and loved by my, you know, coworkers. And then, and she kind of almost, not the exact wording, but it was like the categories came in succession. And I was like, oh my God, we're just talking about my mantras I've been working on last few months. But it was, though, until that. And so then that was the job that I ended up getting. It was wonderful. And it just healed a lot of energy for me. But during that time, I had definitely had to like step back out of control. So I had to learn to like not rehash it and worry about it every day of my life, and just trust. And I kept then doing more of a mantra of like, I just trust in the universe to provide me for my highest and best. Mm-hmm. And so that was my phase one. And I'm only bringing that in because like this whole balance, it was just so weird for me to have trust. And I remember that so intensely of like, I can't believe I don't feel like I should like research more of my job. I was kind of had this intuition about like, just stop the, don't do that. You just need to relax and see what happens. But it was just such an interesting thing how it ultimately did come. And it has been for my highest and best. I don't, you know, I love that job. But it's interesting, though, I do feel like for my spiritual work and when I manifest with that, I've kind of got this phase two clearing, energy clearing, which is just nice. Because like, again, like when I collaborate with people, I want to collaborate people that I feel that heart space with. And that's like, I feel like with you, I was just like, gosh, this is so beautiful. Like, so then you'd like get, that's what I feel like is my, more of my phase two, this like beautiful, like, I don't know, like heart centered, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not with ego. I always want to caveat that all the time, but you know what I mean? A better, cleaner.
You've got to have some ego. There's no end.
Right.
You can get rid of your ego.
Going to be there. It was beautiful. It's going to be there.
You talk because, you know, when you were talking out, I haven't watched a lot of Abraham Hicks. Like I haven't sort of watched that along the way, but amazes me how we all get the very same messages coming through and we all get the same path in some way, but we just mm-hmm. all receive it differently. So the way I always understand it after my sort of conversations with spirit mm-hmm. was living in your truth. So I always talk to people about living in your truth, which of course you talk about with Abraham Hicks, that they talked about living in the vortex.
Yeah.
So my way of seeing it, I guess, over years of sort of communication with the universe is that when you are in that space, you're exactly who you meant to be at that moment in fine. So if you're connected and you've plugged in, like, and you're both on FM and you're both talking the same language and you have rid yourself of all those, I guess, components of the ego that are no longer serving you, like the limiting beliefs and the victim consciousness, those sort of things. Once you've started to shed those and you've started to live in the moment, and you said something then that sort of made me go off on this little bit of a tangent, but it's sort of like once you're in that space and you're understanding where you're meant to be, it's like everything just, it's like a domino effect. It's like a flow through. And things just happen so much more easily and so much more gently. So it's not like you feel that you have to drive it home. And that's the thing with the control, is letting go of control and just understanding. You know, I see so many people so racked in their lives and so uncomfortable and unhappy because they're always trying to control everything around them. They're trying to control their partners. They're trying to control their children. And I've seen people so many times just, it, you do, obviously, you have to have boundaries, you have to have things in place, but you don't have to ride people or situations 24 hours a day to get an outcome, but people feel they do. So I feel like that, you talking about that giving up control, really understanding that what is meant for you will never be withheld from you. Once you get to that point, then I feel that things come so much easier. Now, the other thing I've always believed is that what we desire was already there for us. So like you don't have to drive it home to get it, because if it was meant for you, it will be there for you. But then if you're craving it and it's what you want, then was it already in place for you before you started? Like, was that job already there for
you?
It just had to take for you to plug into the right frequency for it to be downloaded.
And even for those ultra like controlling types that want to plan everything, this is so relaxing. It's a relaxing spiritual idea to be like, God's got this plan, this ride laid out for us, or, you know, we did, you know, as souls before, we need to just chill out. Sorry to interrupt you, but I agree.
When you're in that energy, things flow differently. They flow completely differently because you're not worrying about it. You're not in your ego pushing it forward. You're not getting frantic and anxious and stressed because things aren't happening. They may not happen in a time that you expect them to, but it's a bit like the kettle. What do they say? The kettle never boils.
The watch pot never boils.
Because when you're constantly standing there trying to make it happen, it doesn't happen so quickly. But if you divert yourself and go and do something else, it boils. So I always say to people, when you want to manifest that, go off and do something creative. Do things for yourself. You don't have to sit by the computer measuring everything. If you just go off and do a bit of painting or drawing or singing and dancing or something to engage in that takes you away from wanting to control things to get an outcome. And for me, that is that whole idea of living in the moment, living in your own truth and understanding yourself and who you are. But yes, beautiful point, you know, like we don't need to control it.
No. And I really kind of loved the imagery at the time when I was really struggling with like the 3D doesn't reflect this 5D energy I'm trying to pushing out hugely into the universe and waiting for that to turn. It was like literally I had to believe in my energy and like see sparkles. Like I had to do some visualizations to be like, it is here. It's not on its way. It's not, you know, it's actually here. And I had to just, I don't know why, I had to see it within my auric field and put a visualization to it, to that, if that helps anybody who listens, to kind of, and then have this mantra of like what you were saying, like what is meant for me will always be meant for me, and I cannot miss it. And I kind of relax in that, kind of, and that makes it just so beautiful because it is like it's like the tether to the universe finally is like acknowledged, you know, this one that, and then I just let that one drive versus the mind having to be like, no, you know, let me get in the middle of this tether business and tell it where it needs to go. And it's like, our plans are never the best plans, you know? And I just kind of had to just keep telling myself that this is the illusion of the 3D versus 5D experience, that what I see does not reflect what is going to happen for me. And I just, but what it is right now is I have to accept it And that is that releasing of control and accepting what is. And I remember having a lot of mantras too of like, I accept what is, just so I could release the tension and not be so like, you know, when's it going to happen? Yeah. I don't know. I had to do those things to chill out my energy again on the daily, you know, nature walks, you know, meditations, everything, because the daily, you know, mental mind does really want to mess up your vibration.
And that's another thing. That's where overthinking comes from, the control. Right. You know, that's why we overthink, because we want something, we want to do something, but rather than just allowing ourselves to just find what we need as we're going, or to sort of, you know, let things sort of download as they need to, we have to push it forward. So we're constantly thinking about it. And that's where the overthinking comes from. So, you know, even the silliest thing, like, for example, you've got a bill coming through and you know the bill's coming through. Why worry about it? The bill is the bill. It has to be paid. Whether it's here next week, the week after, or tomorrow is irrelevant. You're still going to have to pay that bill. So why are you in there trying to think out how you're going to do that? Because it really isn't necessary.
Right.
So people say to me things like, yeah, but I haven't got a job and I'm really worried I don't have a job. And I'm like, well, what's overthinking going to bring you? Is it going to bring that job in sooner if you're in your head thinking about it all the time? Is it going to make something manifest because you're overthinking it? But it's that need to control the outcome, the desired outcome. And I posted something today which was really relevant to that, that said something about, if you're always trying to visualize the outcome you want, then you're limiting the way that the universe
comes
for you. And I think that's the most important thing. Even if it doesn't come in exactly the same way, like I've had people say to me, got the job of my dreams, it's absolutely beautiful, I love it, I'm getting good money, I like the people, but it's a long way from home. And I think, okay, so you may, like we were talking about earlier, be a little left of center with that.
Yep.
It might be that everything's going to be perfect, but one thing may be not quite where you want it to be. So then you have to sit back and say, well, you know what? I've got everything I want in that. If I go for a job that's closer to home, I may not get the money I'm getting. I may not get the people to work with that I'm getting, but am I happy and grateful for that? And of course, that's my big thing, is you need to be grateful for whatever comes your way, even if it doesn't quite fit what you wanted. You need to be grateful for that, because you will manifest more in the future if you're grateful for what you've received.
Oh, so true. That is so true. And you know, just when you were saying something about the overthinking thing, it just also reminded me a lot of my childhood. And I don't mean this despairingly, but although it may sound this, but my sweet mom, it's like every time if I would go somewhere and say I had a pack and I forgot something, well, that's why we always do a list. And where did you put your list? And did you not write that down? Or this is why you put your keys in the same spot. You know, there's always these little, and she meant it as helpful, but it always was like this, you know, we control things from accidents happening. And so her mindset with me growing up was always like, well, if something happened, you could have controlled it better. You just didn't think it. So it created this pressure to always overthink everything. You know, if I went on a camping trip, I brought so much medication that a child should really bring, you know, and all sorts of different weather clothes, not just normal and expected. It would just felt this, like, I remember that as a kid, you know, and just being like, you know, so, And so that was really part of it.
That brings in all the guilt as well, you know, because yourself with self-guilt. I should have thought about that. Why didn't I do that? Instead of being able to say, well, yeah, I missed that, but hey, I'll remember next time. Like,
yeah, right. And so it was really hard for me to get into this flow and present moment, because those things were like a daily, like, egging on so many things. Like, if I don't prepare well, is God going to, you know? And it kind of became a little religious, just because of some own personal background, kind of, you know, religious dogma that was going on in my house. But it was just, you just kind of look at that. You realize the pressurized expectation, the stuff that you do to your mind because of those little, you know, childhood tendencies that really I didn't see until, like, you know, in my 40s, of like, oh, wow, that really creates me when I speak to my kids. And I'm trying to teach them like life hacks or life things, but really sometimes they're just, the way that I phrase them sounds a lot like a, you know, little militant.
A judgment.
Yes. Yeah. Like, my poor kids.
Yeah, I know. But I think that, you know, as a parent, you can only do you know, as much as you can based in your own experiences and change things as you do. And I think that particular, you know, energy of realizing that you've become somewhat your own mother really does, if you're awake and alert, really does remind you why you need to do things differently.
So true. And we do now. And it's funny, we say on our vacations, oh, yeah. What's that? I didn't mean to talk over, sorry.
You become more relaxed, don't you? Because you're taking all the pressure off yourself. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So now we have a new mantra. So when we go on vacations or anywhere, it's not an adventure unless something goes wrong. So now we're almost like, we're not trying to manifest things going wrong, but we're trying to depressurize this. Oh, you forgot your flip-flops, you know, or, oh, you forgot your, that I was grown up with so much, you know. So it's just kind of like, trying to like retweak the, you know, the dogma of how we used to see life, you know, as a kid. But it's funny how all of that, though, it truly does, like how we talk to ourselves, all this stuff, it's so many layers, it's so many directions, really adds to like, how clear are we with God about what we want and what we think we're worthy of. And you know, when that gets higher vibe, we're going to call in clearer, better versions of whatever manifestations we want to call in. So I just had to add that one little thing because I just find that funny, you know, you just find little things as you get older, you're like, oh yeah, you start seeing a little bit more of your childhood as a, you know, again, like you said it, like, they were doing the best that they could at that time, but you see that and you're like, okay, I don't want to continue that.
No. And I think that your children will probably do much the same thing. And I think that's quite par for the course. But I really feel that the more we can alleviate ourselves from the worry, the control, the guilt, all those sort of things, that all of that helps us to grow so much more naturally.
Yeah, I agree. And that sounds good. That's just perfect. I mean, I think that that's just a beautiful way of talking about manifestation. I just love that. And just how you ended that. It's just more natural growth. And I don't know about you. Do you have any secrets to daily? That's what I wanted to ask you before I forget. Any sort of like secret, you know, daily kind of relaxing technique that you kind of call in to kind of like, you know what I mean? Be more in the moment, or especially when you're manifesting even. I know we need to do this daily anyways, but.
Oh, no, I always make sure I'm living in the moment. So at any moment during the day, no matter what, especially if I'm in my head, if I start to get into my head about something, I really ground myself. I make sure I'm living like where I need to be. I do the gratefulness every day. Yeah. So I'm always, even during the day, I'm always looking at what I'm really grateful for. And I guess, you know, people talk about, you know, feeling connected to all things and feeling love for all things. I feel that's probably one of the most challenging ones in this day. Mm-hmm. There is so much discontent in the world, it's hard to turn yourself off from that sometimes. Yeah. But I think I really feel that, you know, remembering you're connected to all things, that you, everything is part of the same energy no matter what, even if it's something that does make you feel uncomfortable or isn't exactly as you want things to be, sort of, you don't have to be nice to everybody. You don't have to be loving and kind if you don't want to be. It's okay to pull away from people if they don't make you feel comfortable. But at the end of the day, do it all with love for yourself.
Right.
Not about loving everybody out there and trying to all those things onto everybody else. It's about, you know, feeling okay with yourself about it. You know, if you find something makes you feel uncomfortable, you know, just understand that that's okay to feel uncomfortable with it and just send the love back to yourself.
Right. No, I totally agree with you.
I'm really big on self-love. I feel, you know, when people are talking about how can I manifest, you know, what can I do? What do I need to do? Yeah. What is my life path? I'm always all about the love in yourself first and everything will flow from there.
Great. I totally agree. And I don't know why I just add this on because I do this with everything, but I also think a daily practice of people grounding into the earth. Like I believe in that visualization of like, like it relaxes my energy. It happens over time where you start feeling it. It might be a year or whatever. I mean, this spiritual energy feeling stuff does take time, I think. But like that and the protection, like surrounding myself with the bubble of whatever people do, whatever visualization works. But then it's like, you know that your energy is yours and you're not getting hit with other things that might be in the around, you know, then it's like, okay, if I'm in that space, then I can trust my feelings. I know that on the daily where it's like, I'm protected myself. I grounded myself. I've set an intention to only be receiving messages from God or from my highest best. And then it's like, okay, I know then that if I get a gut feeling about something, I can follow it. And it kind of adds to that confidence too, which kind of helps the manifestation thing too, the self-love and all that kind of, you know, that whole direction. But anyway, I know that that's a whole nother topic too, but.
Because you're talking about boundaries then, and I learned a long time ago, that's what personal boundaries are. You know, we all think that they're sort of a very logical thing. And I think that it takes a long while for us to understand that we need to protect our own energy.
Yeah, completely. And that's self-love. That's like empowered self-love. So
absolutely.
Anyway, I so appreciate this. It's been like a long discussion, but I so appreciate this. I love talking to you, Yvonne. You're just such a wonderful, just a resource on this. And just anyway, this is like my heart, you know, just like melting after this discussion. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go manifest again.
It's been lovely, Susie. It's always good to have a chit chat. And we've often done it informally. So it's nice to do it in a little bit more of a formal venue, as it were.
Oh man, like, isn't she awesome, y'all? I had to hard edit the ending because I just kept talking to her. I couldn't say goodbye normally for a podcast. So anyway, I'm saving y'all that awkwardness. So that's it for this episode, you guys. Thank you for listening. Manifestation is a big talk. This isn't like a short subject, and I just, again, I'm really appreciative of having Yvonne on and having her insight. And she's just a wonderful spiritual teacher. So if you want to check her out on her YouTube channels, go seek out the Aussie Goddess. All right, you guys. Well, I hope you take your nuggets from this conversation and just manifest the crap out of 2023 and get your highest and best going, because you deserve it. All right. Thanks for listening, y'all. Take care.